Welcome to the Retail Tech Podcast. Today, my guest is George Richter, CEO and founder of a company called OceanX. How are you today, George?
Very good. Good morning, Darius.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me, George. You're based in
El Segundo, California.
El Segundo, California, the beautiful El Segundo, right next to LAX, for anybody that is not familiar with all the cities. And OceanX is a company that does what?
We're in the business of helping other companies, most of them CPGs, retailers, and manufacturers, to get closer to the customers, sell to customers, and create recurring revenue, most often through subscriptions and memberships. But we're in the business of helping people sell direct and therefore establishing relationships with customers.
Okay, so would that be direct to consumer?
It's direct to consumer. I would classify it as a subset of e-commerce overall.
Your specialty is subscriptions, right?
It is subscription. That's why, again, e-commerce is transactions, and what I do is a relationship marketing, and we try not to ever sell one thing. We try to understand the person, sell many items to one person. So that's the difference between e-commerce and direct to consumer. And yes, we do most often subscriptions.
Any kind of retail, the lifetime value of a customer is probably one of the most important things. You don't want to spend all that time and energy to make one sale to the customer. That would be a waste.
Unless
that sale brings you $1 million, or I mean, even then, it doesn't make sense. So subscriptions are great. They give you more stability on the revenues. You know what to expect, more than just regular e-commerce. So it's a great idea. Why don't more people do it?
Yeah, it's on the way. There is a big trend towards subscriptions. Actually, everything is subscription by now. We have been used to like AT&T and insurance being, and then Netflix was the next subscription. But now everybody does it. Microsoft, the license, the Skype license we're talking on is a subscription. Everything is subscription. Even cars are subscription now. Volvo, BMW, Porsche, they all have subscriptions around cars. So we're really getting into this, I call it a new membership economy, where there is everybody looking for relationships. And the word subscription can be a turnoff for some, but it's really a more complete, holistic thinking about a relationship to understand the customer and give that person what they really want. And that's the business I'm in.
So you mentioned the word subscription might be a negative to some. Who do you mean?
There used to be subscriptions in the old days. I used to do book clubs and music clubs, and there were hard relationships where you sign up for a subscription and there was enforcement that you stick to whatever you signed up with.
There was a contract and late fees.
And today all the relationships are very open, are very friendly, are very customer focused.
I remember, you used to have a gym membership. You couldn't get out of it for your life. It's like,
correct.
Come on, guys, I didn't commit crime. I just don't want to come to your gym anymore.
Yeah, and that's what's really happening today. But why is that? That is because of social media. If a gym doesn't let you out, you can tell everybody easily.
Yeah.
And they get bad reputation. So the internet itself, cloud computing, our whole environment changed to technology. That's why everything has become softer and the relationships have completely changed.
Power is shifting to the consumer, definitely, from the retailers and the brands.
And that's a function out of technology, really, I think.
So when did you start OceanX?
OceanX is only 2 years old. We were born or spin out of Gatirenka, one of the premier direct-to-consumer companies in the world.
You have a very long background in direct-to-consumer. Maybe you can give me a quick overview of some of your past history that relates to OceanX, how you came up with this.
I started out in Austria selling books direct-to-consumers, and there I learned that people are really excited if they receive something in the household. And again, my whole life I'm in this business in many, many product categories. I ended up being president of Gatirenka in the cosmetics, personal skincare, hair care space. And that's a category that lends itself very much to subscriptions, because you can learn about somebody's preferences and feelings and serve goods to their home. But this is, we are now at OceanX opening the door to many, many other areas. Just what I said, that subscriptions are almost everywhere. We deal with very, very different things than skincare these days, from adult diapers and tampons to vaping, lots of medical things. Very interesting times ahead. Many, many retailers come to me and I help them to enter this new area of selling. Because you know, the malls are certainly every single week. Now we heard about Nine West. Every single week you hear a retailer going under. That of course, affects the physical space, the malls. Mall traffic is down. And then selling direct is, of course, a very effective way of reaching customers.
When we talk about retail, of course, 90% of it still is local, right? Physical stores.
Yeah.
There are definitely some very successful subscription membership programs like Costco. How is this different between online only and then, you know, companies that have both physical and online?
Yeah, by the way, Amazon, we think of Amazon as only e-commerce, but it's also a subscription, right? Everybody is a Prime member. So we think it's free shipping and handling, but you actually pay for it. How is that different? I think all future relationships are multi-channel or omni-channel. You see Target is probably the most aggressive. You see Target has their own subscription business, but also invites other subscription companies to come into their physical space. They have many, many brands already on their shelves. You know, they started with Harry's Shavers, and I know they have Nature Books. I know they have Cora. They have many subscriptions on their shelves already. So you will see a blur between those lines. Many retailers will start their own subscriptions. What that means is if they start a subscription, they get closer to customers. They can really understand what that person really wants. And they can also expand their physical reach. Because no matter how many stores you have, even if you have 4,000 stores, you cannot reach every person in the country. If you sell direct through the mail, you can reach everybody in every corner of the country, which physical stores just cannot.
What are the different details that a company has to handle?
Of course, anything can be done, right? It's 2018. But my secret sauce is that, you know, I handle everything and I'm very specialized in that. It's the same thing if I hand you a French cookbook and say, here's the recipe, cook it. It's very, very difficult. The ingredients and the tools and the heat and the timing, it's just very, very difficult to get this all together. So I help companies do everything soup to nuts. There is nobody like OceanX out there. It starts with very simple things, that you have the right addresses. You know how to charge credit cards. It's very complicated how credit cards are charged. You know, everybody might think, oh, that's easy. There are tools out there. Yeah, there are tools out there. But these are general tools. In the business where card is not present, because in subscriptions, you cannot see the physical card. There's lots of fraud out there. Companies like mine specialize in fraud prevention, really knowing who that person is and understanding patterns. We understand which issuer, what kind of card, which kind of bank, and what time of the day they actually present the charge. So if you have that knowledge, you simply collect more. A good example is that Thursday night is the worst night for anybody presenting a card, because many people get paid Friday morning. And if you have knowledge which banks present those files at what hour, you actually get the money first, like the early bird gets the seed.
Really?
So, you know, if you do that right, you get more money. Yes, even that is a very sophisticated part of it. And then I can talk hours of this, of course, and I don't want to bore you, but even how you package something, there is weight limits. You have to send it from the right location as close as possible to the customer for cost efficiency reasons. How somebody opens the box, how you curate, how you inspire people, how you delight them, how you educate them, how do you make them feel good about their purchase, and how do you make them look forward to receiving another shipment. So when we think about Amazon is great. Love Amazon. But Amazon just gives you exactly what you ordered and fast. That's where it ends. There's no relationship. It's just a brown box and you open it and stuff is in there. So I'm in the business of inspiring people. The highest level of feeling is that they say, wow, I get this from this company. I love this company. They know me and I somehow belong to the inner circle. That's the ultimate goal I'm pursuing.
Right, the circle of trust, I guess.
Yeah,
that's the thing. So just going through, I want to get sort of like almost like a list of the different services that a company has to go through. So you mentioned payments and fraud.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a detail. I just want to.
No, no, it's good. I want to talk a little bit about details because I want to. I want to, like, you know, if a retailer is listening to this, I want them to understand all the different things that they have to account for and they have to handle if they want to do something like this, as opposed to going with a company that does it all for them. So.
Yeah. Retailers and CPGs, you know, they're wonderful large organizations out there. They just have a different business model. It's very difficult for a large organization to start a new business channel. It's just difficult. That starts with supply chain, because very often supply chain is organized directly from China on a store level in containers. And, you know, I'm in the business of individual items and packaging them together. That's not what they do. So it's very difficult for these large companies to get organized. That's why they come to people like me and said, can you do this for us? Of course, they could do it. They're just not set up to do that.
Right. My, doesn't make sense what, for yeah, them to no, do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult. Right? It's very difficult. So supply chain is an interesting hurdle for them because they have very rigid systems. If they work with SAP or any of those larger ERP systems, it's very rigid. They cannot just say, okay, let's take, you know, 200 items here and 60 there. It sounds easy, but it's not. They're just not set up to do this. It's a completely different business. So that's what I'm focusing on.
So in the case of, for especially like supply chain itself, do you actually did you build your own software technology, or how do you handle that? Whereas you take that away from the customer. What kind of integrations do you have to do to make that work?
So I'm integrated with all the large warehouse management systems, so I can see what other people have in their warehouse. It is just totally awareness that in direct marketing, it's very different. If you have a store, you put things there and you wait until somebody comes. In direct marketing, we can offer and people click and want it. So your inventory has to be totally live. You have to know every single item you have, because if you don't have it, you shouldn't offer it. Otherwise, you disappoint people. So it is. I have many. I've maybe 70 different common pieces, all connected, integrated in one large system, where you have perfect information on where your inventory is, where your customers are, what their wants and needs at that moment are, what they just returned, and things like that. And that allows you to satisfy them to a much higher level.
Okay, so 70 different integrations or services that are all being pulled into OceanX.
Correct. The center of it is a order management system that's proprietary, and around that we did many, many integrations. Yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted to find out. Is like what's the heart of the or the brain, I guess. Is your own proprietary OMS.
Yes. Correct. And it is also a software piece on the market. We have an unlimited license, and it's a lot of customization around it, so it just doesn't exist. Actually, I was looking for a piece; it just doesn't exist.
Right.
So that's why we had to build it. And even customer service. Let's talk about customer service. It's every retailer has customer service, and these are nice people, and they have knowledge about products. But when people call a subscription company, it's a lot about logistics. It's a lot of technical things. It's about partial payments. About situations like this. So the system customer service is very much focused on subscription management. Again, it's a specialty. So there's actually four parts we do. The main thing is the system, the order taking, the looking ahead at inventory, the charging, the databases of customer. The second part is customer service, very, very special customer service, very specialized on what the customer needs. For example, if you call me, in subsections, the system will decide why might you be calling? For example, we shipped you something 3 days ago. So then the system will immediately populate the screen for the best and looks for the best possible agent, an agent who has already dealt with issues like that. Even we try to find the most the best mix, the best match for your personal needs. So very specialized customer service. Then there's very specialized distribution. Our sweet spot is maybe 15 different items, high speed in a box, so it looks good. And
Okay.
it's very variable because we all have different needs. It's not good enough anymore saying, oh, it's that skin cream, because we all have different desires. If there's different cadence, different size, different texture, different flavors and fragrances, right? So it's very specialized. And the third thing is deep analytics. Because of all this data creation, there's many, many touch points, how people sign on, how they communicate, what they return, what they purchase, and what else you can learn of them on the open internet. All of this is combined and get played back to the retailer or whoever runs a subscription
Okay.
program. So, and having all this information can dazzle customers with knowledge about them and give them just the right thing at the right point in time.
Right. That's the holy grail called personalization, right? It's
Correct. By the way, that's what everybody's talking about.
right.
Everybody's
Everybody's
talking.
into person.
And personalization, we come from the time where it says, dear VIP customer. Then the next thing was that they actually send something to Darius because they know your name now. And the next thing is that I know how you act. I know something about you, and I can hit you somehow in your heart with comes something very special that I really understand the name of your pet or that you like a certain thing, and I can inspire you to try something else, and
Right.
then you think magic is happening.
It is magic when you talk to somebody that doesn't know you and they actually sound like they do know you.
Yes, because in a retail store, you know what retail is today. You have underpaid people, and they're walking around saying, "Can I help you?" They can't really help you.
Right. So what do you think is the role of, so I mean, technology is probably the biggest change agent in retail and
Absolutely.
commerce, right? And
Yes.
some of the technologies that are really being tested right now are, for example, AI, which I'm sure you use, in many different places in your software.
Yeah, I have a different opinion on it. First of all, the most important thing, it's not really there, is that subscriptions or any e-commerce is completely integrated with point of sale. That everybody talks about it, everybody wants it, but hardly anybody really can do that. So that's just point of sale when you have a person in front of you. That all these technologies we see that geotagging, you know who is in the store, you know what they buy, you know who that person is, but you also know that they bought something direct. That is, in theory, very easy. In real life, very difficult. So we're still ahead. This is still ahead of us. Hardly
Right.
anybody has that integration.
So why is it so difficult in real life?
Retailers all are faced with pressure. They have pressure with 5 to 10% decrease in sales. That puts pressure on the bottom line. That puts pressure onto bonus of executives. They have a hard time saying, okay, so let's take more money from the bottom line and invest it in something. That's how the humans think. Humans think, okay, let's save more money. So that's why you see the spiral down in retail, because they just have no money to invest. Furthermore, pressure on retail exists because of interest rates are going up. And we all know that these big malls are, and lots of retailers, is highly leveraged. So they
Right.
have pressure from both sides. So that's why they cannot solve technology, not because they couldn't do it or couldn't think it through. That's not that difficult.
I think technology is a big part of it. The legacy systems make it extremely difficult for people to innovate.
Yeah,
So it's just a
of
fact
course.
of life. It's just a fact of life. And until they get away from these legacy systems, it's not going to
Yeah.
change.
Yeah, I saw a number. I spent $50 million, 50, to build those new systems. It's a lot of money and took me many years. So, does anybody in under pressure have the energy, the money to really do that? So it's not the technology. It's the money and the focus to get away from legacy systems. I was just talking to a retailer yesterday, and they understand what they have to do. But these people come to me because they said if they wanna do a subscription, they maybe can get it into 2022, because they have so many things to modernize their legacy system. So you're correct. And I mean, today you have to be cloud. You need perfect information now. You cannot just go with files and add them up day later, right? So that's really what the difference between legacy systems and modern cloud computing.
What's the smallest size of a customer that you work with?
That is an interesting question, because I would say go to create about 20,000 subscribers and then I help you. They have 20,000 subscribers. They can do this with Shopify. Shopify is a very good tool to get started, very cheap to get started and to learn a little bit. But you cannot run anything in scale there. Very, very difficult, because there's testing limits, there's reporting limits, you just don't know anymore. So that's the perfect point in time when people come to me. The reality is that people come to me when they have nothing and say, can you help me? And then I send them away and they come back to me. So I'm in that cycle all the time. I'm working right now with two clients, and they last year they said, no, we try ourselves, and they couldn't do it at all.
Yeah.
So they're starting with me right now.
So maybe in one way that's the best customer, because they've already tried it, they know how difficult it is, as
absolutely
opposed to, yeah.
Because otherwise, if they don't try it, they have no respect.
Right.
I have another large CPG where they try to put me under pressure, with their supply chain people, and try to negotiate prices. It no, it's not about price. Do it yourself, and then you need extra. You need help from an expert.
Right.
But that's
so 20,000. 20,000 subscribers. What you mean is maybe like an e-commerce store that has like a list of 20,000 people on their like customer list, right? Not necessarily like subscribers.
I mean subscribers that you get used to the cadence and what's happening with subscriptions, that people sign up and then people leave, that you get a feel for the whole thing.
Right. Okay. So it's not the revenue that you're looking for then, right? Or the what about
no,
product types?
No, but it's the same thing. If you're a Porsche dealer and somebody comes in and has never had a car, it's prudent that you have another car before you get a several hundred horsepower kind of race car, right? It's a little bit like that. And then if you're the salesperson, of course, you always have that feeling, wow, if I can make a sale, I should sell it to them. But the right thing is say, hey, get some experience.
Right. Okay. And then how do you charge? Is it per transaction or a percentage, or is it like a software as a service monthly flat fee or?
Yeah, I've everything.
Okay.
I have it's a setup cost, and that depending what we have to do, including websites, right? That can be between like 100 and 300,000, depending on the complexity. So there's a setup fee, then there's a per unit fee on a variable fee, depending on the shipments and depending on the work I have to do. This is really labor plus. That is phone service and that is distribution. And then I have a systems fee, that is the SaaS fee, that's in the neighborhood from $1 to $2, depending on the quantity. That's really when you get the analytics and where you can rent the system, that's the SaaS part of it.
That's $1 to $2 per unit?
Per shipment.
Per shipment, okay.
And then I have an account maintenance fee that has a lot to do with, how much support the company needs. If you have a dedicated person that has to be paid for it. So we become partners and we help people through labor, and it has to be paid for. So these are five different fees.
Okay, and depending on what the customer needs, that they apply
to them. Absolutely. Right. This is the system was built a little bit like plug and play, and often we have someone who say, hey, we want to do our own customer service, we want to do our shipping, and I help them set that up. The reality is that they all think they can do it, and they do it, and they come to us in a later cycle.
Right.
I have every single customer I started in 2016, comes now in 2017 and asks for more services. So they all think they can do parts themselves, and then later on they come and say, you know, we trust you, please help us with that. So I have a very soft sales cycle. I help people, I try to be partner and whatever they need.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest cost actually is really time to market, right?
Yeah. Yeah, again, the retailer yesterday said that 2022, they could be there. And there, you know how that is with IT priorities. At the end, it will mean not 2022.
Yeah, more like 2028, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that seems ridiculous to even discuss it.
And then what's it going to, you know, how is that, like, doing something like that is going to take them away from their core competency?
You know, yeah, of course.
Everything takes time. Everything takes energy. I mean, staffing, it's like, so this is, I mean, I think, you know, as far as like what I know, it's a no-brainer. If you want to get into subscriptions, you seriously have to look at, you know, at least getting to the point where you graduate to the level of hiring somebody like OceanX to help you with it.
I think you need help, and there are lots of good people out there. It is just the subscription industry is understaffed, because that is all of a sudden. Remember, we always talk about one-to-one marketing and all these things we talked about, but nobody did it. So it's, you know, what I do is not many people do.
Right, right.
Which is good.
So what kind of products do you focus on? Is there a product that you will say, no, I won't do this?
Yeah, I just said no to frozen goods because it's very difficult. It's heavy and you need a lot of packaging. So I cannot do frozen goods.
What about fresh food? Or?
I try to stay away from that too.
I help
somebody. Yeah, we have ingestibles, we have supplements, we have food things, we have dog food.
Okay.
But fresh food is complicated. There's a lot of frustration out there with fresh food because there's a lot of waste preparing it. It's a lot of packaging. It's a lot of cooling, a lot of transportation. Very complex to execute, and customers expect a low price. So it's that formula doesn't work. How food will work in subscription, it's actually very popular on a local level. So Albertson does that. Walmart will do it. I'm sure Kroger could do it. So people already have a brick and mortar framework, and who already have a kitchen, they certainly could do fresh food in a subscription form. And they need help with billing and these other things. But they have the supply chain down. They have the logistics down. They should do it on a local level. That can never be done through the mails across the country. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, and actually, I mean, Amazon is starting to do it with Whole Foods now, and you know, I mean, you can bet that it's going to expand.
If you have a footprint, yes, you have a footprint, yeah. Absolutely. And people like convenience. Nobody has any time anymore.
Right.
So, by the way, that's one of these big arguments with subscriptions. Of course, you can go on Amazon and look for socks or whatever it is. It's just there's so many. So if someone has a relationship with a company they like and they feel they're known, and this company curates and say, hey, Darius, I know your size. I know you like those kind of patterns. What about this? You click and say, yes, I want that. So that's a comfortable relationship a subscription company can solve. The world is too complex. It's overwhelming.
Right.
You go to Starbucks, they say, what do you want? And you look, they have so many variants of coffee that it's overwhelming. Most people have anxiety about going shopping anymore. So a well-done subscription solves all these issues. You get it on your home. You might try it on in the privacy of your home, and you get what you want.
So do you actually handle the curation as well for customers? Like, you have people that put together the packages, or?
Yeah, I end up advising people. So the brand people certainly should know more about their product. But I help them. I inspire them around their own products because, you know, CPGs don't think about the product as far as who receives it and how does this person feel about it. They think about specs. They think about logistics, about supply chain, and how to push it into Walmart or a Target. They're not trained. They have not trained people who think about, okay, how does that woman feel when she opens that bottle, and you know, what does the fragrance mean? What is the whole feeling around this? CPGs don't think about that.
Yeah, I mean, they basically are used to a different type of a relationship.
Correct.
With
So
customers, yeah.
It's a transactional relationship. As I said, beginning,
right.
We're moving from a transactional relationship to from transactional selling to relational selling.
Right. So, you know, the keywords here are curation and personalization, right? Is that
Yes.
pretty much the future?
Absolutely.
The
That's the future, and it's
holy
hard
grail.
To
Yeah.
It's hard to execute.
Yes. So you can see that for each one of these, there is a level between 0 and 100. And how
Yeah.
do you go from 0 to 100? And they both are related, right? I mean, you know, if you don't personalize, you can't curate correctly.
Yeah.
If you don't know the customer well, you can't get them what they would like.
Yeah, so think about a local store in a small little town. You might go into a local store and they know, Darius, this is how you want your coffee, and you come in and they say, hey, Darius, and that's it. And that has gone away. It has gone, everything has gone very fast, very big, and hundreds of variants. And subscription go a little back and hit you in a very soft spot in your heart and give you something others don't do anymore. So there's a large future for this, and many retailers and CPGs will get into that area.
Right.
Actually, they have to, otherwise they become a commodity and they're not relevant anymore.
So would you consider loyalty programs as a form of like semi-subscription? You know, when you give points to a recurring customer, you give him points, for example. And I'm thinking more like even from a retail, like a physical retail, local point of view.
Yeah, I'm not so hot on that. It is another complexity. I have several frequent flyer accounts, and, you know, I just have points expire on Alaska Airlines. They expire, and it annoyed me. And I say, we'll never fly Alaska because of the points. It's another level of administration, something you really don't want to deal with. So the future is, I believe, the future is value pricing to everybody. You expect value, speed, a certain quality. And if a company gives you this, you will be loyal to that company. If you do extra points, where do they come from? They are taken away from somebody. So I'm more for giving everybody really good service, good value, make him feel good about dealing with you.
But not distinguish between like your top customers and the rest?
You can give them other things. You can give them things they cannot buy. You can give them a look forward. You can give them exclusive products. But I wouldn't necessarily get into loyalty things because, again, I have lots of experience this. Then you have customers, they call you, phone call is expensive, and they discuss their point balance. And it's a frustrating experience for both. It costs something. It costs a lot because the call costs about $6. So to deal with it, the customer has no time. They have to deal with this. So I think in summary, it's not a great experience to loyalty. But you can give people, for example, in apparel, you give them next season things. You give them fragrances others cannot have, right?
Right.
You know, the summer is coming. You give them a peach mango, and that's only to the top tier customers. So there's other ways how you entice them and make them feel good about being a top tier.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, on a consumer side, the psychology of it does actually resonate with a lot of people. Like, you know, people get specific credit cards just to get the points, right? So they can pay for the next vacation using their points.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
know,
I mean, you know, that's a very special industry with all those points. I think that's a certain segment of people who do that all the time. Yeah. But a busy person, and you know, our target markets are millennials. They're very busy with life. They won't futz around with several cards and comparing. And it's like coupon cutting. You know what the actual usage of coupons is? It's so low. It's a very low percentage of people who actually get into this and deal with it.
Right. Yeah. The new technology that's being applied to loyalty, specifically as I've seen, is blockchain and cryptocurrencies. So
that's
where people are trying to like compensate people in a different way.
That's, you know, that's the next quantum leap, right? We used to do big data and artificial intelligence, and next thing is blockchain. And you and I cannot really understand what that means and what it does to society, just how we didn't understand how important mobile is right now. It just, you know, it will be very interesting. I'm very interested in blockchain.
Are you looking into it?
Not for my company. As an investor, yes. All kind of things.
Okay. All right. So, great. Well, thank you so much, George. As always, it's a pleasure talking with you and hearing your thoughts and views on how to help customers, right?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. It's
all about the customer, and it feels very good if you can make somebody feel good about purchasing something from a company. And when it's really honest, when it's not just about price, when it feels good, everything feels good from the experience when you sign up to when you open the package and the quality you receive and the value you perceive to, you know, every single touch point, including to creating certain twists, including education or a thought, a connectivity. I was working, for example, with a French product, and we play around with whatever French means in people's heads, like the language, the music, the fragrances we all associated with France. So we play around this the product and infuse those elements, and people think, wow, this French soap is very special. It's so French because, you know, we all have certain things in our head.
Right, right. So what's next for OceanX for the rest of this year? What are your targets, goals?
I have about 20 new clients I'm onboarding this year, and I have my hands full with different needs because we're in a service business and they all have different twists, and it's very interesting. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm in a growing industry, so it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of stress also.
Yeah, that's four handfuls. I was going to say that's a handful, but it's four handfuls of customers.
But that's what you want, right? That's what you want. It's exactly the situation. I created it, and I'm there, so I have to handle it. So
that means
no excuses.
Yeah, that means you're probably hiring. So what are some of the most critical roles you're looking for to fill right now?
I have about 25 openings right now. Yeah, it's mostly around engineering. Business analysts, project managers, scrum masters. That's the jobs most in demand. You know, an organized person who wants to, like account managers, these are organized people who grow out of BAs or project managers. This is a very important thing. And then engineering, I have a whole technology stack where I need all kind of people all the time. And we are in Los Angeles, and people have other options, and there's turnover. That's a fact of life here.
Right, right. Of course, it's a tough environment to be in you know, trying to retain and find the best.
But that's okay too, right? The others have the same problem, and that is today. People just want to work 2 years and go somewhere else, and we are an extra open and friendly company, and that attracts certain people and to stay here. But still, then they say, hey, I want to move out and I want to take off a little bit. It's happening a lot these days.
Right. Do you, just one more question, do you ever use like remote employees or everybody is in the office?
No, we use remote too. It's because if you do programming, we use Jira, that's an Atlassian product, mm-hmm. Where you see what people do and they submit projects. So we have, I would say, a hybrid, because if you really have to be part of a team to understand what's going on. But we have people working remotely. And of course, we have a lot of engineers in South America, where it's a very specific task they do, especially on the on the front end side, on web technology. There you can easily outsource, right? There's very specific specs. But when we talk systems designs here and architecture, you need a hybrid. You need people being in the office, understanding what the task is. It's like, you know, programming is like a puzzle piece.
Right.
And so being connected, but people can work from home.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's also another part of this today's life.
Absolutely.
If you are not flexible and you can't manage people that work remotely, you're going to be at a disadvantage. So,
but it has gotten easier. It has gotten easier. Technology allows that.
Yeah.
People can be at home if they don't have little kids and they bang on the door. I wish I could work from home, but I can't. I absolutely can't.
Well, you know, I think it's good to have the flexibility, you know, and
yeah.
I think commuting is not fun and it's very unproductive. So
yeah.
It's good to provide employees that some kind of flexibility, maybe even not.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I try to be the best employee I can be.
Thank you so much, George. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Darius.